And right now we're going to move on to a story here in the United States. Georgia is scheduled to execute 53-year-old William Lind, who is convicted of brutally murdering two women. Now, if that execution goes forward, it will end a 7-month moratorium on the death penalty in this country, the longest pause in about 25 years. And it comes after the Supreme Court ruled last month that Kentucky's method of lethal injection, the most commonly used method in the U.S., does not violate the Eighth Amendment prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. Since then, 14 executions have been scheduled in 6 states starting today. Fordham University law professor Deborah Deno's work was cited by the court. Professor, the plaintiffs in this case really were arguing about the method. They weren't arguing about the sentence they received. They were arguing that the 3-drug cocktail, which is used in dozens of states, is cruel, and that they were requesting that a massive dose of barbiturates be used instead, the same method used to euthanize animals. Why did the court not buy that argument?
Well, first of all, this is about Kentucky only. Kentucky's only had one execution. It also has a limited record, so it doesn't really apply to any other state but Kentucky, except for the standard that the court came up with. But the court didn't find enough evidence that this single barbiturate had been sufficiently tested. And, you know, during oral arguments, there was some consideration that maybe there wasn't enough evidence at all collected to show that.
Now, it's interesting because the justices came down 7-2, which would seem like a decisive decision, but that's actually misleading, right? Because there were many differing opinions, even for the majority who were all agreeing on the end result.
That's right. There wasn't any opinion that had more than 3 justices, and you had, you know, 5 concurrences, which is extraordinary. So you had a concurring opinion is where a justice would agree with the result but has their own reasoning for why they're coming out the way they are. So it was very splintered, and it's hard to get an exact read on the opinion for that reason.
And so what does that mean? In essence, this issue has not been clarified, right?
Well, it's been clarified to the extent that the court came down with an Eighth Amendment standard for states to follow, and that's the good news. The bad news is that states can, you know, the standard is still a little bit murky, and states can interpret it, and there will still be a lot of litigation going on forward.
And another issue here is, won't this decision force the medical community to confront the death penalty once again, although this is something the American Medical Association has tackled and other medical organizations? What does this mean for them?
Well, it means for them that, you know, in all states now, doctors can participate in executions, and it could resume the kind of conflict that you're talking about, you know, this paradox where the best people who are qualified to conduct an execution are ethically prohibited from doing so, even though we know that many doctors have been involved in these executions.
Last quick question for you. What's your thought on the death penalty? You've done a lot of work on it. Where do you come down?
Well, I'm opposed to the death penalty. I mean, philosophically, I have no problem with it, but I just think that the penalty has been shown over and over again to be applied unfairly, and for that reason, I don't think we should have it anymore.
Now, just one last note. William Lind, the condemned man, his request for clemency was denied. He's appealed. He's scheduled to die at 7 p.m. Eastern, but that may not happen.
That's right. I mean, we're going to sit and watch today and see what actually happens in this case and what the court and the probation.
Deborah Deno, got to leave it there. Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.